Hello, we would like to welcome everybody to the January 24th, 2024 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of the commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas having a special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. This commission is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organizations. This commission is appointed by preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards are set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance, are used by the board to determine the compatibility of proposed changes and new development visible from the public right-of-way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within the Savannah local historic and conservation districts. The commission cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangement of structures are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preference will not be the basis for decisions. At this time, if everybody will please turn off your cell phones. Thank you. Is there anybody online joining us? Not yet. Okay. Each commissioner must state their name for the record when you speak and when you vote on an item. Will the commission members present please identify themselves by name for the record? Starting with you, Jeff.
Jeff Nutrika.
May Boley.
Pam Miller.
Kathy Levina.
Kirsten Connor.
Darren Bagley Heath.
Virginia Mobley.
Thank you. Members of the board receive an electronic agenda the week before meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects not properly posted this month? Nope.
No.
Excellent. Consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Is there any member of the public or a board member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Sorry. Skip over. The adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
May Boley, motion to adopt the agenda.
Darren Beckley, a second.
All in favor? Jeff?
Aye.
May Boley, aye.
Pam Miller, aye.
Kirsten Connor, approved.
Darren Bagley Heath, approved.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Thank you. Motion passes. Approval of minutes from previous meeting. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the previous meeting?
Yes. Virginia Mobley, in the beginning of the minutes, I am listed as being present, but when you read the minutes further on, I'm not there. So that's a minor correction.
Terrific. All right. Any other corrections? If no, can we have a motion to approve the minutes as amended?
Pam Miller, I make a motion we approve the minutes as amended.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Seconded.
All in favor? Jeff?
Aye.
May Boley, approved.
Pam Miller, approved.
Kirsten Connor, approved.
Darren Bagley Heath, approved.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
All right. There are no items to be removed from the final agenda, so we will continue then to the continued agenda. These are items that have been continued and deferred to the next meeting or a date certain, or that staff has determined incomplete at this time. Is there a motion to approve the continued agenda?
Virginia Mobley, I make a motion to approve the continued agenda.
Second.
Kirsten Connor, second.
All in favor? Jeff?
Jeff Entrega, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Darren Bagley Heath, approve.
Motion, nope.
Virginia Mobley approved.
Motion carries. Thank you. Seeing that there are no requests for an extension, we will continue to the regular agenda. Nice and quick. Applications that are submitted monthly appear on the regular agenda in the following order by district. Victorian District, Kyler Brownville District, Streetcar District, Conservation Districts. Let's begin the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendation. The board asks the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comment. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairman. We will structure board discussion by calling on each board member for two rounds of two-minute comment or less. Board members are not required to comment. Looking at the first petition, the petition of Julius Mack, 677 West 34th Street, after the fact alterations and a special exemption request.
Okay, as you said, the first application is at 677 West 34th Street. So the applicant is requesting approval for its special exception for after the fact alterations to the to this property. The special exception request is to allow for all work that was completed without a certificate of appropriateness to remain. This work is as follows: window replacement, door replacement, installation of fiber cement siding, complete front porch alterations to include the column, railings, foundation wall, steps, and decking, e-bracket removal, removal of louvered vents, as well as a reconfiguration of the original main roof and removal of the roof of the rear additions. Applicant is also requesting again for the special exception from Secretary of Interior Standards 2 through 7 and 9 through 10, as well as from the district standards for exterior walls, windows, doors and entrances, porch, stoops, balconies and decks, as well as roofing. So for some context, this is the property in question. In March of 2019, a permit was issued to replace an area of deteriorated siding. That's very difficult to say. It was discovered in May of that year the scope of work had been exceeded. It's worth noting that at the time, Kyler Brownville was a conservation district only, and that the work in this case was reviewed only using visual compatibility standards. This district did not become a historic district till 2021. This project was initially heard by this board in April of 2022, but was continued to the following month to allow the applicant to apply for a special exception for a select portion of the work. At the May 2022 meeting, the board denied a portion of the work and denied the special exception request, but then approved the roof replacement, electrical service relocation, addition alteration of rear decks, and the installation of exterior lights. It is worth noting that the commission did approve some after-the-fact work and special exceptions for the neighboring property in October of this past year. So it's the neighboring property. Their work included removal of the front porch elements, including the roof, CMU base, and wood columns, and the wood balustrades and railing, the removal of windows, and the replacement of these windows with vinyl windows, the alteration of the window openings, removal and replacement of all doors and infill of the transom openings, removal of brackets, insulation, a fence, and reconfiguration of the rear. The commission did approve special exceptions as well as all of after-the-fact work for this project. So in this case, again, the applicant is requesting approval to keep their work as is. So the work in this case is similar for both structures. There are some differences, such as with the front porches. The applicant for 677 put back similar configuration to what was there historically, was the neighbor did not, they just put a balustrade back. Given that the commission approved a special exception for the neighbor, staff finds that the project 677 West 34th Street meets a special exemption criteria in this case. It is worth noting that requiring the applicant to correct this work will be a hardship financially on the applicant. and Apton states that his goal is to provide affordable housing for this district. If the corrections are required, the applicant cannot keep these units affordable. Sorry. And providing affordable housing is also part of the city's comprehensive plan. So having these units like this will be great. So if there are any questions after this about specific parts of the project, feel free to ask. With that, staff is recommending approval of a special exception for after-the-fact alterations for the property located at 677 West 34th Street, with the following condition to be submitted to staff for final review and approval. Because the special exception criteria are met, the applicant reinstalled the original porch pilasters or duplicates of the same design based on available images. Does the board have any questions?
Are there any questions for staff?
What do the original porch pilasters look like?
So we are referring to these back ones. The ones in front were clearly not historic. And from what I have been told, the applicant may have these. So if those are still available, we do request that they be installed.
Virginia Mobley, the front of the porch looks like they're just simply a metal pipe, are they?
Yeah, so we were not requesting that these ones be reinstalled because they're clearly not original. If you look at the ones in the rear, there are decorative elements. They appear to have more detailing to it. Those are the ones that we want recreated. But these front ones, again, clearly not original, so we're not asking them to put those pipes back.
And do we know that the owner has those pieces, or?
I've been notified, I believe. Yeah, but we confer the applicant.
Catherine LeBron, I've got a question on timelines. I'm a little confused. They had a permit in 2019. They had two permits for $10,000, right? Totaling $2,000 in 2019. And the stop work order was placed when?
2022, I believe. It's when the stop work order was issued. Is that correct?
So if they didn't have a permit, they did all of this work without a permit.
So they,
all of it.
They did our COA at that point. I'm not sure what the city issued, but they definitely exceeded our COA, yes.
Your COA meaning staff, because staff review because we didn't exist, correct?
Yeah, the district at this time was just conservation, so it was demo review. So that permit was for removal of some siting, not all of it. But as far as I know, the rest of the work was never reviewed by staff before it was done.
Jeff Dentrigo, what year was this house originally built?
That would be that is in my staff report. It would sometime between 1888 and 1891. And it is contributing to the district as well.
Thank you.
Kathy Lindvina, as far as you know, the owner and petitioner owned the property in 2019 and still owns that property today. It was the owner who was performing the work.
That's how I understand it, yes.
Okay. I apologize. Okay. Are there any other questions for staff?
This is May Boley. I just want to clarify. This one was denied. The neighbor property was approved, and they're reapplying purely because of that to now be approved. Just in simplest terms. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
One more question. If you could pull up the tax assessor's record. It's not really a question, it's a statement. The Chatham County tax assessors.
Just one moment.
Yeah. What I'm interested in showing or establishing is I believe there's a picture on the property record card. Jeez. There's the, yep. Keep going. All right, and then scroll to the prior one. Oops, ooh. The prior. The other way. Yep, there we go. That was 2020. So that was the work performed. Right, that's after, this is after the historic review went into process. The HPC, right? This is how it stood.
Yeah, so y'all didn't review this district in 2021.
Started it in 2021.
Yeah, so we had, I believe, demo review and some other review, but full review did not come into 2021.
But it was still under staff review since 2019.
Yeah.
And staff did not review any of the changes.
Only the
proposed.
Yeah, only the small amount of siding.
Except the siding repair. Okay. Any other questions for staff?
Is the neighboring property the one where the woman purchased it without realizing it was in a historic district?
Crazy.
So that one was approved based on the fact that the person who was making the application didn't do the work. Right? That's the major difference here.
That's what I understand.
In this case, the applicant is the person who did the work in full knowledge that they were violating the COA. Correct? I know you weren't here. I know you guys weren't here.
Yes. Kirsten Connor, that's correct.
That's correct. So I guess my question is, I don't understand meeting the criteria for the special exception. Can you walk me through it? Because your recommendation is approval, yeah?
Yes, ma'am.
Because it meets a special exception criteria. Yeah, thanks. Forgive me.
Yeah, so I'm obviously new as well, so I'm not terribly familiar with this. But I think, and Caitlin can probably chime in here, who has a lot more institutional memory. Our position, and I don't want to speak, probably may be able to articulate better than I can, is that if you all felt that even with the neighbor, you know, bought the house and the work they didn't realize had been done, if you felt that that was compatible with the historic district, and in my opinion as an architectural historian, I would say that this property, 677, is actually better done than the neighbor. How do you then, if you're looking at it from the perspective of the owner, and the owner says, well, the house next door, which did a far architecturally, in my view, worse job, was allowed to be in that condition. What is the standard that, you know, is there a consistent standard here?
My argument would be that the owner of the property that we're talking about today owns multiple properties throughout town and therefore is a landlord and is far more up to speed with what planning processes need to take place and therefore is subverting the rules based on somebody else, the discretion we gave somebody else who was unaware, who is just a single family, single property owner. And that would be, that's where my concern comes in when we offer special exemptions, because there are certain times where it is financially unfeasible for somebody who's in good faith has made a mistake and it's financially unfeasible. And there are other folks who use the precedence of a single property owner as a way to then go ahead and carte blanche violate the principles and conditions of what's in place. And that's where the concern comes in. As I look on the tax record, the gentleman in question owns 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 properties throughout town. So probably far more savvy as far as what is and what isn't and expectations regarding rules and regulations, planning districts, et cetera.
Kirsten Connor, I'd also like to point out, just for clarification, even if I should be corrected. Special exceptions are case by case, correct? So
yes.
The whole point of them is not that we're approving the compatibility and saying, yes, this is compatible for the neighborhood. It's more based on the
particulars.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
So
yes,
I think using that neighboring residence to compare this shouldn't even, like, I don't even think it should be brought up for this case.
Right. Mabel. Could
I?
Oh. Is there someone?
Hi. Yeah, this is Melanie Wilson. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Melanie.
Oh, thank you. I can't find the little raise your hand thing on the system, but there's a couple of facts that I really want to raise that you all need to take into consideration. First, you all are making a lot of assumptions. You're assuming that because this person owns a lot of property, that they understand how the historic preservation process works. That's not true. Color Brownsville just became a historic district a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. So that's not a fair assumption, candidly speaking. Two, when you make a decision and you basically say that the person who bought the property did not know, it doesn't matter. You made the decision based on that situation. You're assuming that the owner did all the renovations. The owner could have hired someone that they thought knew to do that work. I haven't heard anything like whether the owner has done a presentation and you might want to let him speak. But I think that you all have to be very, very careful. And I can't stress this about how you approach dealing with this, because when this initially came in, it wasn't the same type of review. The person came in and basically had some siding work that needed to be done and some other stuff that needed to be done. Some of this work was already done. So just be very mindful as you are making some of these statements. They're kind of blanket statements. Just because somebody owns a bunch of property don't mean that all those properties are in the historic district. And it doesn't mean that the property, that the Color Brownsville area was in the district at the time that they became a district. There are a lot of people that don't even know that they're in the Color Brownsville district. We basically have been doing as much education as we can for people that own property over there, but it's probably the newest district that we have. So please be mindful about that. This is about at least trying to get this property somewhat into compliance. If they've got the existing pieces that were saved and they can be put back on, and then fine. But just be very, very mindful about how you're looking at this in comments that you're making about what the person should have known. Thank you for letting me talk.
Kirsten Connor, I have a question. Is there a way for us to consider what the standards were prior to this becoming a local overlay district? So when the COA was originally applied for and they did the work that was out of compliance, are we able to consider that when reviewing this work for the special exception?
I will tell you that. Were you asking that question for me or for the staff?
Staff. Or you, Melanie. Trevor.
Oh, okay. I think that some of them were not there at the time that Color Brownsville became a district, but I will tell you that they had minimum standards. They really didn't have any design standards. So it is different than some of the other districts that you all have a little bit more information to use when looking at making your decisions. They really didn't have any. They kind of came in to do kind of minimal reviews, like, are you replacing the windows? Those are things that we looked at. Are you replacing siding? What type of siding, you know, are you using? Are you using, you know, to make sure that people didn't come in using a bunch of vinyl siding and some other stuff that really wasn't compatible. But they didn't really have any standards like you're thinking, at least based upon something about what you're thinking.
Kathy Levina, so Melanie just stated that they did have to verify what kind of siding they were using if they were replacing windows. Were porches included in that visual compatibility as well? It was an overlay district, so there was review.
But if you really look, there really weren't any design standards. Just because it's an overlay doesn't mean that all these districts have design guidelines or standards. It just means that they need to come in and have us look at it. So if there were pieces that, for example, I think the back of this property had some wood rot and some other things that was going on. So when Leah did that review, she made some comments about that. You know, all we know when the applicant was going back there, they could have discovered that there was more wood rot, because all you can do is make an assumption based on what you know, see. But there really wasn't a lot of design standards in place at the time that this was done. Because Color Brownfield, like I said, it's a brand new district.
So, Miss Melanie, can I ask you a question? In this case, so say, for instance, we move forward today and we approve this with the conditions that the staff recommended. Moving forward from this point, because as you said, this was the initial process started in 2019, my concern is that we continue to set a precedent that this work can, you know, you can go ahead and do work and then we'll go back and give you forgiveness after the fact, which removes the teeth from any ordinance. How do we set it so it is a special exemption, and the reason being is some of the work dates back prior to the ordinance, that we don't continue to encounter this kind of problem?
Honestly, I think that you just answered your own question. You know, two things. One, you already set the precedent when you approved the neighboring property, which basically started in a sense afterwards. And you made that decision based on the fact that a person made a purchase of the property. But the bottom line is that it's just like with any land. Just because you bought a property doesn't mean that you are waived for not knowing what the rules are. And in this case, if the person started doing the work before all of this got put in place, I think that you can hang your hat on the fact that this started before the ordinance. We deal with this all the time with kind of grandfathering and things of that nature. If someone comes in it, you look at it on a case by case basis, and you look at things like we're talking about. When did it start? What rules were in place? Were there any design standards? Things of that nature. But I don't think it gives you carte blanche to just have somebody else come in and say, oh yes, you got to approve it because you approved this. I don't think that this does that at all. I think that you can have findings of fact for the decision that you're going to make, whether you approve it or deny it, that this started during this time, this started when they didn't have this in place, this started whatever. I mean, this applicant, if you look at the trajectory of what they did, they came in for application. The board at the time told them to go back and do some other stuff. They went and did that and got another application. So it's not like they have not, at least during that time, tried to make some effort to come, you know, to come into compliance. That's why they're back here now. So it's not just the only reason because the neighbor got approval that they're in here. It's broader and more detailed than that. So I think that you would be covered if you're worried about that. Is that Darren that was speaking?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I think you would be fine with that. I think you just kind of, you would be fine with that.
Kathy Lidvina, it's my understanding that each decision is not precedent making and that each case is taken project by project.
It technically is, but when you look at and just listen to what you just said in the meeting, that you guys made a decision based on the fact that the woman bought the property and not knowing that it was in the district, that is not something that's winnable if you got challenged on that. There has to be something that's bigger. And no matter what you say, theoretically, a lot of stuff that happens does set somewhat of a precedent, not unless you have some basic good reason to not approve it. When you look at this, this person started doing their work before the other person that you approved. So you would have better standing to say, hey, they were grandfathered in because the work started before this happened, than the decision that you made on the adjacent property. That's just my professional opinion looking at it.
Virginia Mobley, the original correspondence or communication with the staff, what was said, you can do this, it meets the criteria, compared to what was actually done. Did he meet those requirements?
It's my understanding that moving forward, he did. Based on the kind of chronology of what has happened with this, he started going to meet the standards that was requested of him by this board. So he's already spent extra money at the behest of this board trying to do what was asked. and he was denied after spending funds. Just to give you some background of what has happened with this. The neighbor, on the other hand, that guy didn't do anything.
We're not
talking. I'm just saying, when you talk about comparing, you know, I hate to be comparing, but the bottom line is that you have to, because it sounds like, and I'm just going by what it sounds like, there's a lot of decision of, well, this guy did it. This woman bought the property. She didn't know, you know, she could have sued the owner and took the property back to what it should have been, because he basically did all this work without a permit. This person came in, they talked with Leah, they started dealing with some review. Did they go and do extra? I mean, and trust me, I hate after the fact work. Yeah, they did more than they should have done. No question about it. But they started trying to come into compliance, trying to follow what information that they had. And they did do what they needed to do at the time when this process started.
Kirsten Connor, so what have they done to help make this situation into compliance?
Please restate that.
Kirsten Connor, what have they done to start the process of making this into compliance?
Question for staff, yep.
It was my understanding that, and again, remember, there wasn't the regular review or process like we've got right now. But it's my understanding that when this thing started out, they basically had, there was a lot of wood rot. They were wanting to do, I want to say he started out with siding, some kind of vinyls, I mean, a different type of product on the property that he had to kind of adjust to. And we did talk to him when he came in for the pre-application about checking to see what condition those, the filigree, that was on the porch was in, and whether that was something that, could be used or whether it could be recreated. So I think that you all need to talk to the owner if he's there to see what he, you know, what he can do. But he worked toward doing the stuff that we asked him to do as staff based on what criteria or what we had to work with.
Thank you, Melanie.
Melanie.
I pulled up the section of Kelly's staff report that, and I can scroll down if you need me to. It describes, the history of the review of this property. And I know the owner is here, who can, probably provide greater context for everything that's gone on here.
Are there any other questions for staff?
Just one more. How long had Kyler Brownsville been an overlay district? I understand that being a local registered district is very new.
Yes.
How long had it been an overlay? Okay, so that's also relatively new. Okay.
Yes, so this is, I think what Melanie's point was, this is,
yes,
an area that,
yes,
there's still a lot of education going on.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. I think that's important to clarify that,
yes,
all this has happened very quickly and very recently.
And yes. And I think what Melanie was also trying to say is, from our perspective, meaning staff, while we realize everything is not perfect, I think there has been an attempt to try to make this house fit in with the historic context and moving forward to address your concerns, Darren. We will obviously be, you know, holding people to a standard, but we were trying to work with this owner, who I think has been making a good faith effort now, to try to, you know, come into compliance, try to keep this as affordable housing. And as Melanie said, I understand what the chair is saying about, you know, each one is separate. But I can understand if I were just a random person and somebody came along and said, well, you know, this building next door was allowed to be in this state and I'm doing a better job of restoring it. It does seem a little incongruous, if that makes sense. But maybe you'd like to hear from the
we will.
Owner.
Yes. Thank yes. you. Are there any other questions for staff? No? All right. Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
My name is Julius Mack, owner of 677 West 34th Street in Colorado rural area.
Mr. Mack, can you please address the concerns of both staff and the board?
Basically, and for the record, I just want to indicate that I'm not a builder. I was unaware of the guys that I hired, like what was the procedure. And for the record also, as far as the other properties that I own, they're not in historical areas. So this was like new to me. This is like new to me as far as like the codes or the compliance that it takes to operate or construct a house or a home in the historical area. They pretty much summed up everything that I don't know the female name or the woman name who was talking on the mic or whatnot, but if you guys have any questions that you want to know from me and I can inform you what was or what wasn't, then I'd be glad to answer.
Terrific. Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner? Kathy Levine, I've got a quick one. Were you working with Leah and staff personally, or was your builder working with Leah and staff?
Me, ma'am.
Any other questions for the petitioner?
Kirsten Connor, sorry. Can you confirm, do you have those pilasters still?
Yeah, I have one, and I also got it's a place that replicate them.
Mm-hmm.
So I could get them arms, I could get them on, that's what they call them, arms or whatnot. I could get them, like, duplicated.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Kathy Labina, do you have the brackets still that you can duplicate?
What are you talking about?
The brackets, the roof, the soffit brackets.
Only thing was on the side where the soffit was the same kind of like those.
I will show you in the picture. The brackets above, the roof brackets.
Well, they didn't have – one of them wasn't there. I got one of them, I think. But like I said, I got a place that can duplicate any kind of –
Do you see the bracket that I'm
– Yes.
Can you highlight – can you highlight it with the cursor? Nope. Above, right there.
I can't see it that good. Oh, yeah. She's talking about those? Yeah. I can get those the same place that provides the service of duplication. I could get those all duplicated as well.
All right, thank you.
Because the other ones was basically rotted. It was like deterred, and you couldn't save them or whatnot.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner?
No, this is Pam Miller. Thank you so much for coming up here today and sharing that. Certainly, you've made improvements to the property. It looks so much better. And I think, please understand that we're just trying to, for us as a group, make sure that we have the same set of standards as much as we can, but sometimes we have to make special exceptions. So I'm not always sure that we should use a precedent or a property next door as something to compare it to, but, you know, I just want to tell you thank you for the job that you have done.
Yes, ma'am.
And thank you for your commitment to affordable housing as well. It is something that really is important.
Pardon me? Thank
you for your commitment to affordable housing.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner?
Kirsten Connor, I'd also like to say thank you for being here today. I know this is kind of a messy situation. Are you amenable to what staff has recommended and you being able to put back in some of those porch elements? If anything.
Yes, ma'am. You're talking about the ones that they just was referring to previous before you.
Yeah. The pilasters and the brackets.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the petitioner? Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to comment?
I'm Sue Adler with Historic Savannah Foundation. I just want to say Architectural Review Committee spent a fair amount of time just talking about this project. And at the end of the day, the real issue here is educating people and making sure that people understand and builders and owners understand we have to get a COA, we have to go through a process. And so I think this is just one of those things, I think we all could agree that sort of fell through the gaps, perhaps. But what the real issue here today is, what are we going to do for the future? And the future is, we need to educate our people in the community on COAs and standards. And so I want to thank you for coming in, but I also want to thank all of you for reviewing this and thinking this through. And of course, thank you for staff for working with the petitioner. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Begin with you, Jeff.
No comment.
May Boley, I appreciate the breadth of the conversation. These decisions are often really tough to make. I think often it can be difficult to see the layers. So thanks to everybody who has contributed. I am inclined to say that I am grateful that the petitioner is willing to restore some of those elements. I am always sad to see historic fabric lost. I don't particularly care for recreating it after the fact, even though sometimes we have to protect our standards and make sure that people aren't breaking the rules. I do prefer original fabric, as I think most of us here do. In this case, I also see the interaction between the neighbor property and this property. I think there is an argument for both of these to meet special exception criteria, considering the particularities of the both unique situations. And we do try to be human and empathetic whenever we can, while also striving to maintain our historic district standards. So with that said, perhaps, and I know that this came up when we reviewed the neighboring property, that there was anxiety that in approving that, it was going to come back to bite us, right? So I think it is important that we just state, again, if we were to move forward, that this is a special exception. And because of the nature of the rolling districts, because this is the newest, because education is necessary and it's incumbent upon us to provide that to the community, for the record, this is not something that we intend to allow to continue, but we'll always approach with a human angle and understanding people who are doing their best to try to work within the realities of our historic district situation. Okay, that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Pam Miller, no further comment.
Kathy Lidvina, I understand and appreciate all of the conversation, and I apologize for having the discussion here versus pre-meeting, but that's just how it goes sometimes. There are a lot of different ways of looking at this, obviously. I understand how things happened and progressed, and I'm visually compatible. The rear portion seems I understand the need for that after fact alteration, especially with the expense involved with recreating what was lost. I do agree with staff that if the applicant is willing to reinstall the original porch pilasters and duplicate those designs, I would take it one step further. I would ask that the petitioner consider replacing the porch with a wooden porch versus the metal railings and balustrade. And I would also think that if he could reinstall the roof brackets, since he has one and it can be replicated, I would like to see the special exception be applied to the rear of the building and work with the petitioner further to create a more visually compatible front porch, which is the main feature of that property.
Kirsten Connor, I 100% echo what May Boley has said. And as I've said in the past and earlier, special exceptions case by case, and I do, after this discussion that we've had, which has been super helpful, I agree with the staff recommendations, and after hearing from the applicant that he is willing to work on reinstalling some of the porch elements, I am perfectly good with approving the staff recommendations.
Darren.
Darren Bagley, he's no further comment.
Virginia Mobley. I have no other comment other than to agree with what May has said. Jeff?
No comment.
May Bowley, no comment.
Ann Miller, no comment.
Kathy Levina, I'm going to again reinstate that I would like to see a wooden balustrade created and the roof brackets put back on.
Kirsten Connor, can we ask the applicant if he would be amenable to replacing the wooden porch elements? And I also want to ask staff, they do have 2 years to be in compliance. Okay.
Mr. Mack, will you please approach the podium?
Thank you, Mr. Mack. Would you be amenable to replacing or reinstalling a majority of the wood elements, not just the pilasters, but the balustrade, the pickets?
Well, you're referring to the metal railing? That's what you're referring to, just the metal railing? I could replace, that's no problem, man. The metal railing, if deemed necessary, I could just replace that with wood.
And the roof brackets, those as well?
Correct, yes, ma'am.
Happy, you have me.
Great.
Thank you, Mr. Mack.
Really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Continuing with Darren.
No other comment, Darren McLeod.
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Can we now entertain a motion?
Motion, Jeff Notarica, motion to approve staff recommendations.
Do you want to make your motion with no additional conditions?
No additional conditions.
Okay.
Amend the motion.
How does it work?
Well, we can have discussion.
Discussion on the motion.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Kathy Lebona, my discussion is to add the additional wood balustrade as well as the porch, the roof brackets, as the petitioner stated he would be willing to do.
I'm willing to amend my recommendation to that.
Can you please restate your motion, Jeff?
My motion is to go with staff recommendations, adding in addition of the original pilasters and the original brackets, and replacing the metal elements with wood.
Terrific. Thank you. Is there a second?
Kirsten.
Oh, go ahead.
Kirsten Connor, second.
All in favor? Jeff?
Jeff Notarica in favor.
May Bowley approve.
Pam Miller approve.
Kirsten Connor approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath approve.
Virginia Mobley approved.
Motion passes. Thank you so much, Mr. Mack. We really appreciate all your efforts. And, before you leave, he can work with staff on that, correct?
Yes, we will. We'll be in touch, sir. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
All right. Continuing to the streetcar district, petition of AD Collaborative, Heather Spinker, 111 Brady Street, new construction, small part 1 and 2.
This is
amendment.
Me.
And the variance recommendation.
Ms. May Bowley, I'm going to recuse myself.
Thank you, Jonathan Mellon. That was a very interesting discussion, and thank you all for your thoughtful comments. So this is another interesting site. I wanted to start with the street view. I hope that's all right. You may recall this was before you last summer. And there is an existing non-contributing accessory building where I'm highlighting right here. The house is on Brady Street, but then it's a through lot to West 35th Street. And they came before you, and what they were proposing to do was to build a second story on top of this accessory building, which is attached to the main building. They received approval. They also requested recommendation for a variance because they can't meet the 20-foot rear yard setback. As I understand it, and I think the applicant is here. Are you the applicant? No, or maybe the applicant isn't here. Is anybody online? Yes, Heather. Okay, so she's online. Great, Heather. She can explain what happened. But as I understand it, when they did a deeper dive into this one-story non-contributing accessory building, they discovered it was deteriorated. They couldn't build on top of it. Anyone who's done construction, I've had to do this myself. That's not shocking that you would discover that. So what they're proposing now is to demolish this non-contributing accessory building, which is connected, and build a two-story addition to the house. And I'll walk you through the plans, which is basically the same as what you all approved over the summer. It's, I believe, 1 foot taller, but still complies with all the height requirements. I'll walk you through it again. There's one change to the side west elevation, where on the second floor they were going to have gang windows before, and now the two windows are separate. Architecturally, I'll go through that in a minute. We think that's fine. I have spoken with Edward, who we all had the pleasure of hearing from earlier. Our interpretation of the ordinance is that since they will be removing this, in addition to needing to meet the rear yard setback, they would have to meet the side yard setback, which is 3 feet. So they would have to come back and request that from you all, because as we read the plans, and Heather may be able to correct me, I believe it's right on the property line. And our understanding is that because they were reusing the existing building before, they didn't have to meet that side yard setback, but they do now. But I wanted to start on this street view, just so you all know why we think this is a compatible alteration to the site. Directly next door is a two-story carriage house. And then you can see even these other houses are very interesting. They kind of have additions and things that come all the way back. And then actually across the street, there are these kind of two-story interesting two structures. And then there's another carriage house or garage here. And then actually, if you go to the corner, this building on the corner actually kind of comes all the way back to 35th Street. So there's ample precedent in our view, and I'm sure that's why you all gave approval last summer for having a two-story structure here. So I'm going to just walk you through it. So here is here's an image of the front of the house, which I know is not terribly relevant. We've already looked at the rear, but here's the site plan here that I was mentioning. Up here, one of the challenges here is that when I was looking at this, I know Caitlin had reviewed it before, and talking with Edward, it's not really an accessory structure because it is attached to the house. You walk through part of the house to get to this. It is not containing an ADU or a garage. And Heather may correct me, but at least according to the plans that we received, it's going to have a dining room on the first floor and an office on the second floor. So we read that as an addition to the house. It will read from the street as an accessory structure, but it's an addition to the house. And so that's why we talk about the standards that are needed. Here are the floor plans here, which Heather can also walk you through. But I just wanted to get to, here we go. So here on the left side, this elevation is the same as you all approved back in July, with the exception on the second floor. Originally, these two windows were ganged together. Now they're apart. Architecturally, we feel that's visually compatible. Rear elevation facing 35th Street, again, visually compatible. The height, as I noted in the staff report, is, I believe, 1 foot higher than what you all had approved before. There were some questions that, if you bear with me, sorry, to my staff. Here we go. So these were all some questions that Heather may be able to walk us through. But basically what staff is recommending is approval to demolish, again, this non-contributing building, which we think dates from the late 1950s, approximately, and to construct a two-story addition at the rear of the property located at 111 Brady Street with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for review and approval because the project otherwise is visually compatible and meets the standards. Provide a proposed site plan in order to clarify as to whether or not the 3-foot side yard setback requirement is met, or if a variance recommendation is required in addition to the requested recommendation for the 20-foot rear yard setback requirement. We believe that is the case. Provide a complete window and door schedule that includes, in addition to the specific products proposed to be used, the muntin details. Condition number 3, provide information on the proposed trim work. Number 4, provide information on the proposed inset of the windows. Number 5, provide information on the proposed percentage of the transparent features for the first floor of the rear elevation. As you know, there's in the ordinance, you have to have 30% of the first floor. It's just unclear whether that is actually met. We don't have the actual numbers in the submittal package. Provide information on the proposed drip edge for the metal roof. This is something that came up a lot in my former position in Washington, D.C., where we approved projects and then people added exterior lighting. So we want to just confirmation that no exterior lighting is proposed, if it is or if it's going to come later, with the understanding that they would have to come back to you all for that. And then in the street view, there is this existing fence, which is indicated to be retained. We just wanted some clarification on that, because obviously with the demolition of the structure and the construction of a new thing, how would you keep the fence? So we just want some clarification on that. We are, again, recommending approval of a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance from one standard within Article 5 base zoning districts TN2 building setbacks for blocks with contributing structures that reads rear yard 20-foot minimum to allow for less than a 20-foot rear yard setback due to existing lot conditions. And as noted, when looking at the street, this is a historic pattern of development where every structure is basically right at the rear property line. So this is not out of character. So here for any questions you may have.
Are there any questions for staff?
I have one. Go back to the picture, the street picture, please. Okay, you say the building, I understand the building with the little white coverings is going to be demolished. How much more of that property is going to be demolished?
As I understand it, it's just going to be, if you can see where my cursor is, it's just basically this accessory structure right here, right to here. So they're not touching the principal building or the little hyphen attaching, which I believe has like a laundry room and a hallway. So it's just going to be right here where you see the eave here, back to the street. And that's the building that we determined is non-contributing.
That is the only attachment it's going to have to the main house?
Yes, correct. So it's going to read as an accessory structure. But again, in talking with development review staff, it's not an accessory use. So it's really an addition to the house, even though it will look like an accessory. I mean, they're not going to be parking a car in here. This isn't an apartment. It's going to have, unless Heather corrects me, as I understand, it's going to have a dining room in the bottom and then an office upstairs.
So access to the second floor is going to be inside the building?
Yes. If you go to, I know I went through these quickly, but if we go to floor plans, yes. So there will be a dining room, and then there will be a staircase here, you see, that goes up. And there will be an office up here with a bathroom. So staircase internally, this is what I was talking about. So this is why when we were looking at it, we felt this was not an accessory structure because here's the house here where my cursor is, and then here's that little hyphen where you walk back, and there's already, it's all internal. It's not even like, if it were a breezeway, I would consider that more of a accessory structure, but the test, Edward and I used to be a zoning officer in New Jersey. Like if visually your experience is you're still in the same house, it's the same house from our perspective.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Capulet Vinat, my question to you is, if they need to request a 3-foot variance, should we continue the petition to wait for that request? Because the 3-foot variance would then open up the, I think it's the west facade to our review, correct?
You're going to see all of it. Because if you go back to the, street view, sorry, here. So you can see all the three sides, the rear and the two sides are all visible now because of the gap here between the neighbor.
Right.
So, even if it were not set back 3 feet from the property line, you would still see it now. So you have review over it now.
Can you bring the west facade up?
Sure. Is there a west facade? It's going to be blank.
There isn't one. That's my question.
Yeah.
That's why I thought.
Yes. Sorry. Heather had explained it was just going to be it's going to match this facade, but it's just going to be a blank wall.
Does it not need to apply to the 30% transparency?
I believe the 30% only applies to facing a street. So that would not apply to that wall. Elevation, I should say.
All right. Thank you. That was my question.
Yeah. Thank you.
Are there any other questions for staff? Will the petitioner like to comment? She's online, correct?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
So I do have a question. I understand about the side setback variance that's being considered. If we do, if that is required to be submitted, how would you guys consider the connection piece from the main house to the addition, if you will? Because that is also lying on the property line. So when we proposed to rebuild, we kept the same footprint to align with that exterior wall.
Heather, if you're asking, I can't speak for the commission in terms of whether they think it would be appropriate for it to be inset 3 feet architecturally, mm-hmm. or if they're fine with it being, you would be requesting, I assume, I don't want to speak for you, that you would be requesting that you would get a variance so that you didn't have to inset it 3 feet.
Yes,
but that
correct.
Would be up to the mm-hmm. commission to determine whether they felt that was it's your determination whether you think that's appropriate or not.
Understood. I think the other questions I have are, I do have some information that I tried to include as much as I could based on the history of the previous renovation with this extension piece. So I hope that I can provide some of that to answer some of the questions that are in here. I may just email you because I think some of that, I want to make sure I'm understanding what I didn't include. As far as the lighting, you mentioned that if there is any exterior lighting, my client didn't mention any adding, but I will double check with them. Would that need to be staff review or go back before the board again?
Well, I believe the board has it within their discretion to make a motion today to delegate some of that to staff or not. They may want to have this come back. I can't speak for them, but they, that's within
sure.
their.
That's all I have.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? Kathy Ledvina, I guess, are you all right with all these staff recommendations? Can you address any of these recommendations?
If you'd like me to address them now?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay.
Again, the first option, we'd have to go to zoning, so that will be the side setback. The window and door schedule is included in the drawings that you have. So I guess I would like to question what more months and details you're looking for. I think what we had proposed was to match the existing house window pattern. So I would try and find more information on what the existing house has to provide to you. Same thing with the trim work on the existing doors and windows. That would be information I would need to track down if it's more than what you're looking for than what's in the drawing. The inset of the windows is called out on the drawings, 3 inches from the face of the stucco. So is there, I guess it would be a little bit more if you're looking for different or more information on that. That may also depend on the trim quality. The drip edge of the metal roof, that I can provide in the detail. There's actually a drip edge called out, continuous metal drip edge on the roof details. So I would like to find out a little bit more about what you're looking for as far as that, if it's just the type of metal or dimension of it, so forth. Again, like I mentioned, my client hasn't mentioned any desire for exterior lighting. I will double check with them. And the existing fence, and my client has mentioned to keep it, but we in construction know that may be more difficult than when you're working in the site. So really it just depends on how we can get into it. But I would say worst case is we end up removing that rear fence. And also if we have to do the side setback, then we would also remove that portion of the fence.
Great, thank you. I've got one other question. Concerning the window and the transparency for the the north facade, the window in the drawing indicates a horizontal sash pattern. I'm not sure what this window is. Can you explain that window? I don't see it in the schedule either. The first
can you
floor
tell
window.
Me what,
do you know what the transparency percentage is?
The first floor window, what view are you looking at? The south
this
elevation?
Heather, this is on sheet A3.01.
Yes.
On this, the rendering of the south elevation facing West 35th Street.
And so you're asking for the ratio of the paneling?
The sash pattern on the first floor
yes.
window, as well as the percentage transparency.
I don't have that calculated. I would have to calculate that out for you.
All right, and the sash pattern?
I could draw that for you. Same. The intent is to match the existing house. So if the sash pattern, I'd look at that and see if it's differing. It looks like it's differing in this, so that might just be my drawing error. So, but the intent is to match the other three windows that you see,
so it'll
the
be a few
above
over
window.
Two double hung?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions? All right, I have one more question. Sorry, Heather. My question
sure.
is, where are you proposing gutters and downspouts? You know, right now all the rain falls, unfortunately, on your neighbor's yard. So I don't see any indication of downspouts or gutters.
Correct. The existing building doesn't have any, and the main house, I didn't see any on there either. If there are any on the main house, we're happy to match them.
So all the water falls on your neighbor's lot?
All the water is diverted on both sides, yes. That's how it is existing. So we're happy to propose. It would be a new feature. So if that's something that the board would like to see, I can ask and propose it.
All right. Thank you. Those are all the questions I had. Oh, actually, one more question. Kathy Lidvina, what's the height of the original building, the historic building?
Of the main structure?
Correct. The historic main structure.
I need to double check. I don't have that readily available. I will have to get back to you.
So the roof pitch on the main building, what do you think? It's 5 feet above your proposed height, 4 feet, 3 feet?
Well, the intent is to, judging by based on the height that we have for the floor, for the ceiling height, it's to look at our roof ridge being aligning with the existing roof edge.
Thank you. That helps. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you. Those are all the questions I had. Any other questions for the petitioner? All right. Hearing none, is there any member of the public that would like to step forward and comment? No. All right. We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member 2 times to speak for 2 minutes or less. We'll start with you, Virginia.
Virginia Mobley, no comment at this time.
Darren Bagley, he's no comment.
Kirsten Connor, I am in agreement with staff recommendations, and I would be in agreement with the applicant just working with staff to answer those remaining questions. But I do like the idea or the comment you had, Kathy, about the gutters and downspouts, if that's something we should consider.
Kathy Lidvina, again, my only concerns was the double hung window on the first floor and the transparency percentage, gutters in the downspouts, and I guess that's the height. I just wanted to make sure that the height was indeed subordinate. This is a pretty steep roof pitch, but because she's increasing the height from our last submission by 1 foot, I just wanted to make sure that it was still, and it would still read subordinate. Thank you.
Ann Miller, no comment.
Jeff?
Jeff Notriga, I'm comfortable with going with the staff recommendation and having the applicant work out the remaining details with the staff.
Further discussion, Virginia?
I just noticed on the house, the original structure of the house, the roof overhang appears to be quite deep, and there are brackets on that overhang. The building that they are proposing will obviously be an addition. Is there any way of sort of blending it in with what is on the existing building? Not that we want to replicate it, but to blend it so it doesn't look like a box.
I believe that the proposal is the stucco. The stucco is going to connect the two buildings.
Kirsten Connor. Sorry, Kathy. I was just going to say, this is going to be interpreted visually as an accessory unit, even though it's technically going to be an addition and a part of the house. So I see no reason to try and
put more ornamentation into the structure, considering the visual appearance is meant to look like an accessory dwelling. That's just my view on it, Virginia.
This is Darren. One question with the stucco. Is this going to be true stucco on masonry?
It has to be.
Right. Well, I just want to make sure that that was the case. I missed that in the plan.
Could I? It is missing in the plan.
Yeah. So is the applicant aware that to use stucco, it has to be a masonry construction under the ordinance?
That's
Heather, you can answer that if you'd like.
Right now, we only have the foundation as masonry. So if we need to do a full two-story masonry building for stucco, is that the requirement?
Yes, ma'am. Under the ordinance for true stucco, due to the environmental nature of the Southeast Georgia coast, the ordinance states that stucco has to be over masonry for it to be viable. Otherwise, it doesn't stand up.
Even though the existing structure is not over masonry?
Well, it won't be the existing structure anymore.
I agree.
And the zoning specifies that that's the case.
Okay. Thank you.
Kathy Labina, good eye, Darren. That's true. It does need to become a masonry structure, which would further alter the proposed plan. My question to staff is the 3-foot variance. How is that?
We talked about it internally. As you know, we all rely on Caitlin for her expertise. And our thought is they would need to come back and request that. We couldn't just add it on now.
Correct.
So
if they have to come back, would they need to bring new plans as a masonry building versus a wood frame building?
Yes, that would.
So it would make sense. It's almost continued to be continued.
I mean, there seemed to be, I don't want to speak for you all, but given that, and Heather, thank you for, you know, joining us virtually and saying that you'd be willing to work with staff. Often when we get these submittal packets, it's just that there's a lot of information that's unclear for staff. And sometimes the information isn't consistent from page to page or with a window schedule. And so Heather, probably meeting with you in person here at our office or out at the site would be very helpful, where we could go over the plans and make sure that everybody's on the same page about the details, if that makes sense.
Yes, that's fine.
I think you would. Pam, do you want
I agree. I think probably a continuance, and that way she can work with staff and get those other questions answered, and then we'd have less to really look at next couple. I'll be cleared up. So thank you.
Jeff, any further comments?
No further comments.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
Virginia Mobley, I make a motion that we continue this for 30 days or until our next meeting, so that the concerns of staff and the commission can be addressed.
Jeff Natrika, I second that.
All in favor? Or any further discussion needed? Sorry. All in favor?
I was just going to remind I don't think it has to be included in the motion to apply for that other variance to come back by the next meeting so it can all be done in one package.
Okay. 30 days was what the motion is. Do you want to do 60?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts? More reasonable?
30 days.
Yeah.
You haven't got 30 days. You have 30 days for the next thing?
Yeah. All right. Virginia, would you like to restate your motion?
Yes. I will amend the motion to continue to allow for 60 days or a day, an earlier date if they are completed, to bring this back with the questions that staff has put forth and the commission, and to include the request information on the 3-foot variance.
Jeff Nutrika, I second that motion.
All in favor? Jeff, begin with you.
Jeff Nutrika, in favor.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Motion carries. Thank you. And again,
thank you.
Jonathan, you'll work with Heather to make sure she understands.
You will definitely, yes.
Should someone get May?
Yep. Welcome back. A list of staff reviews is attached to the agenda. Are there any questions of the staff regarding the approved staff reviews? No. The board will now vote to acknowledge this list of staff reviews, which includes the petition of MVS Real Estate Investment LLC, 2123 Hardin Street, roof replacement. Petition of Matthew Farrar, 2305 Price Street, mechanical screening installation. Petition of Oliver Manet, 213 West Duffy Street, window replacement. Do we have a motion on the for acknowledgement of approved staff reviews?
Pam Miller, so moved.
Virginia Mobley, second.
For the vote of acknowledgement, Virginia?
I approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
May Bowley, approve.
Jeff Nutrika, approve.
Acknowledged. Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgements, there are none. Moving on to other business, I'm going to chime in for the nominations for the 2024 chair and vice chair. Is that all right? Okay. So the nominating committee discussed, and we are following our plans from 2023. Darren Bagley-Heath will become the new chair, and Kathy Lidvina will perform the role of vice chair. Do we need to vote on that?
I don't think it would hurt. Yes, I think you should.
All right.
Virginia Mobley, I make a motion that we accept the nominations as put forth by the nominating committee.
May Bowley, second.
All in favor? Jeff?
Jeff Nutrika, approve.
May Bowley, approve. Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Motion carries. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Is there any other business? Hearing
no. Oh, I was going to say something. I just wanted to thank the staff. Y'all are doing a great job, and especially considering how new you are. So thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Round of applause. Hearing no other business, adjourn.